is up, dads? The Dad Court Podcast. Jonathan Shirey here, back again, episode 10, with special guest and friend of mine, David Thompson. Dave is James Dean Cool. When I first met Dave about 5 years ago in Jamaica, our families were at one of those all-inclusive resorts. My daughter was about a year and a half, and he had just had a baby. And within a few minutes, Dave is one of those types of people you talk to. You realize, I want to be friends with that guy. He exudes confidence. He is hilarious. He's got such a cool perspective on life. I mean, he's just so much fun to be around. And his perspective and his personality is contagious. And so we hit it off. We went scuba diving 3 times that week. Our families hung out. We've kept in touch ever since. One of the really cool things about Dave is that he is just one good person from the core. Maybe a year later, after we had met, I put a Facebook donation out, and he was one of the few people that donated to that cause. Barely knew me outside of that 1 week in Jamaica, but he stepped up, and that's just the person he is. He's actually the person that I would be willing to call if I had an issue, because I know he would say yes. And so he's such a great dude and a good father, a good husband. He's got his priorities in place. He's been very successful in business. He bucked the traditional system. He started his own company at a very young age, in his early 20s. It's a successful construction company. And his wife owns a flower shop. They reside in New Jersey. They've got a couple young kids. You can just see pictures of Dave out there. Whatever he's doing, if he's working hard, if he's playing hard, he's having fun. He's laughing. He's having a good time. He's joking around. And he even talks about that being the trademark of his personality and his life philosophy. Even during COVID-19, which has been one of the most devastating impacts to small business owners in the United States, Dave has kept a positive outlook and talked about how it's allowed him to reflect on priorities in life and spend time with his family. You just can't get a better person than that. And not to mention, he's just hilarious. The technique that he implemented with his daughter to teach her the number one life skill, which is people skills, customer service, is next level genius. I absolutely cannot wait for you to listen to that. And so if there's no other part of the podcast that you listen to, make sure, because that is absolute gold. And so without further ado, let's get Dave on this show. Hit love it, share it, but most importantly, listen to it and take the gold nuggets that Dave gives.
Hey, Dave.
What's going on, bud?
Good, man. What's going on your way?
Nothing, man. Just hanging outside. It's a beautiful night.
Man, I can hear the birds chirping, man. It's been a couple of years now. What's been going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
Dealing with this whole coronavirus stuff, and the streets are empty at 7 o'clock every night. The people go crazy cheering just for the shift change with the nurses and,
oh, really?
And the medical professionals. But the doors are pretty much closed. They make you wear a face mask. So the other day I go into a Duane Reade and they wouldn't let me go in because I didn't have the face mask. So I had to put my face mask on. So it's just really strange in that way.
Yeah, no, I went to Home Depot the other day and there was a line outside, probably 30, 40 people deep. They're only letting so many people in at a time.
It's weird, right? Because you go up and you see this line and you're like, what is going on? I don't know if it's the same thing at Home Depot, but everybody was socially distanced apart in the line. So it's like trying to get into a nightclub, except for you're trying to go to Home Depot, but everybody's 6 feet apart in line.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
What are you guys doing during this? Because you have a couple of small businesses, so I'm sure it's been interesting your way.
Yeah, we're both pretty much shut down at the moment. I mean, I went from having 10 guys to 2 guys. And the only reason why they're working is because we have a house that we're flipping. Gene's, the florist, has been closed for at least a month now. We're just chilling home.
Are you guys stressed out about it or taking a, it is what it is and just roll with the punches?
As long as nobody close to me is directly affected, even though it sounds a little selfish, I think I'm trying to think of this as a really good thing. For me personally, I never really got a lot of time to be home with my family and my kids and stuff. And now I've been able to be home for a month and I'm loving it. I'm actually loving it.
Well, I see you're working on your hoops and dunking on your daughter, man. That was a hilarious video.
Yeah, she loves it though, man. She loves it.
The best was the one that you had, the blooper one where the ball went back and hit her. Oh, I was like, oh man, talk about Dad of the Year award.
Oh my God, no. But she loves it, man. I mean, I raised her to be a maniac and I'm paying for it now, but she loves it, man. She loves it.
No, it's awesome. And I think that that's why we probably connected when we were in Jamaica, right? We had the same philosophy and we had our kids going down that slide, man. That's a legit slide. We had our kids going down and they were babies.
And they were babies. But I mean, I don't know. I think my daughter
was younger.
I mean, our kids were probably younger, under two, I think.
Yeah, Milan was definitely under two. You had a baby, man. Because I remember Milan had an accident and Jean gave us diapers. So you were legit in the first year.
Yeah. But yeah, no,
it was funny because I was taking Milan down that slide. She was just big enough where I could hold her and it was not too much of a concern other than keep her head above water and hold on tight. Right. Right. And I saw your eyes and you're like, I'm doing it. And I remember your wife being like, no. And then I'm doing it. So finally she just gave up and you did it. It was awesome.
Yeah, man. She's crazy.
Pretty cool. So you have a second now too, right?
Yeah. We have a 1.5-year-old boy.
How's that?
It's good. So Lily was super easy as a baby and he is the complete opposite. I mean, he is as hard of a baby as I can even imagine. I can't imagine him being any harder. He has, you know, he has good times and bad times, but when he's good, he's great. But when he's bad, it's brutal.
How so?
Yeah, just with the whining. Lily never, still even to this day, she ever whines and cries, really. He's just super needy. He's a real mama's boy, where Lily was always independent. From the day she was born, she's been independent. She could keep herself occupied, do stuff. He's the complete opposite. He needs attention 24 hours a day. So he's much harder to just keep entertained all day, especially now with what's going on. I mean, we have entire day to try to keep him occupied.
It's funny, one of my best friends, he had a daughter and she's an absolute sweetheart, and he said that she was just so easy that they got into this mode where they felt everything they did as parents was perfect and everybody else just got it. And so they would be the judges, right? He's always look around and be like, man, they just don't know how to do it. We know how to do it. So they have the second, and he's my son just screams 2 or 3 hours. He'll just go on this screaming, and he's a little bit even older than your son, and he just won't stop until he gets what he needs, and it's completely humbled us. Actually, you have much less control over how your kids are than you think. It's funny. It's luck of the draw sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, exactly how you just said it is what it is. Like, we would literally sit there, and people would be like, oh, kids are so hard, and we would be like, what are they doing wrong? This is so easy. This is nothing. We're killing this parenting thing, and then we have him, and it's, oh, my God, this is hard.
Yeah, Milan was a maniac right from the beginning, and part of it was that we didn't know that she is lactose intolerant. I don't know if I ever told you this story, So my daughter's lactose intolerant. For the first 6 or 7 months, we're giving her milk and she's just going crazy. And as first time parents, maybe she's colic. We're trying everything, white noise, rubbing the tummy, all of this stuff. Finally, we go to the doctors and doctor's like, is one of you lactose intolerant? And my wife is. And so she's like, yeah, I am. Yeah, your daughter is too. And we switched and it was night and day. But what the bad part was is that, you know, switch was, okay, we got that fixed. And then we went right into teething. And so we just never got a break. We basically tortured my daughter for seven months. And then she went right into the most miserable phase of a baby, which is that teething part.
Yeah, no, same thing with him. He's lactose. And we caught it earlier. I think we caught it within the first couple of months, but it was brutal. We didn't know what was wrong. We had acid reflux, what's going on. And then we found out about the lactose in the milk and stuff. And then he got a little better. But then same thing, you get right into teething. And yeah, I mean, same thing. It's just, oh my God.
Yeah. What are you guys doing as far as the businesses? Did you go through that small business loan? I hear that's a disaster.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we applied for it like immediately, but we've seen nothing still.
Who did you go with?
My wife really handles all that stuff. I get emails from this SPA. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, depending on the bank, there's been different experiences. And I know Bank of America, I think, was basically Oprah. You need a loan, you're getting one. Everybody's getting loans. And then other banks have been a lot more cautious. And so it's been a first come, first serve, and they ran out of money. So now they're trying to get $300 billion more to refund it. And in these larger companies that are broken up into these like smaller subsidiaries. And so some of these places, Shake Shack got $20 million. Dude, that is the epitome of our definition of not a small business, right?
So, yeah, right.
Like, I'm always curious because I'm in corporate. And so I haven't really experienced that, but I have some friends in the small business world. So I'm curious how you guys have dealt with it.
So they're giving out these loans, right? Now, we still don't know. Are they loans or are they grants? If they're loans, they're going to be at a 5% interest, which if that's the case, I probably don't even want the loan. it was going to take me so long to get out of that. I don't know if I want the loan or not, because if it's a grant, then obviously, yeah, then that's great. But if it's a loan that you got to pay back at 5% interest.
I think it could be a loan. The interest rate is much smaller. It's 1% or 2% from my understanding. Okay. But where it becomes a grant per se is it'll be forgiven as long as you meet the certain requirements. So for instance, if you laid off 6 people and you got the loan, part of that is supposed to be rehiring certain people. You don't have to rehire everyone. So a lot of the small businesses are, this is a great opportunity. I get to keep my business going, but then I get to keep the high performers and drop some of the ones that weren't really being effective anyway. It's anything else, right? There's a lot of flexibility there. You just have to read between the lines.
Yeah. I use this whole situation with the coronavirus to do just that. Basically, keep the best ones and weed out the other ones. You know what I mean? I laid off the ones that weren't making me as much money as the really good ones. So that helped me in a way. So when this whole thing hit the fan, I had to make a decision. I had to lay guys off. I couldn't afford to float payroll for 2 weeks for 8 guys. I couldn't afford it. I laid everybody off. Then 2 weeks later, you find out that's one of the requirements is that if you're able to get this loan, they're going to be for companies that didn't lay anybody off. Well, I didn't know that 2 weeks prior. I didn't know that was going to be the case, so I laid everybody off. So now I don't even know if I'm technically eligible for it.
I think you are. My understanding is you would be as long as you hired people back, but I don't know what percentage that is. I do know it's less than 100%. And so it's a matter of minimally satisfying the requirements, but not exceeding them to get the money. How do you keep oversight of this program to prevent fraud once you get the money? Because obviously, anytime you're handing out a couple $100 billion within weeks, people get damn creative, right?
Oh, hell yeah. No, I actually just saw on TV before that people were actually getting checks from their dead parents that have been dead for 10 years. And they're getting these stimulus checks. What the hell's going on?
It's the craziest thing. Some people are literally, they're hiring themselves. And I assume most small businesses have yourself on the payroll as an employee, right?
Right.
And so you then stopped your business. Well, when they go back to rehiring, they're saying, okay, well, I'm back and I'm paying myself and I'm an employee. So I've met the requirements. I think that's fine. It's based on the rules, but it's wild. If that works, now imagine how creative people are getting.
Oh, yeah. But since I've been home for a month, I don't even know what I actually want moving forward. So
yeah,
for my entire life, my goal has been to be this big construction company and have 20 guys and 10 trucks. And I was getting to that point. I mean, I'm very, very, very busy, and I would leave the house before the kids got up. And a lot of times I would get home after they went to bed and just chasing estimates and money and just doing that stuff. And now that I've been home, I don't know. I'm rethinking like my whole life, basically. I'm being more present than never being around. I'm honestly considering really, really, really downscaling and just, obviously I'll make less money, but at the end of the day, what is money really?
So you're having a reflection period. A lot of people are. So it's made you rethink your whole business.
My whole life. I'm really analyzing my whole life and what's really important. Is it really, really important to be this huge construction company and not be around as much so that we can take 4 or 5 vacations a year, or be around more and be a more of a family guy and take 2 vacations a year? I think I'm going to opt for the downsize and just be around more.
And how does that work? Do you run a construction company? And it's interesting, when we met, I guess that would have been about 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a young guy, man. So you started a company pretty young, I would imagine, and you built it up nice. Like, are you able in that business to get something smaller running and still stay competitive?
I built my business from nothing, and it's the whole thing has been word of mouth, right? You do good work, and then you go to the brother, the cousin, whatever, whatever, whatever. I've never advertised. I never spent a dollar on advertising. Literally everything has been word of mouth. And I think I can. I mean, I think I can really just keep 2 guys working, maybe 3 guys working, make a modest, income and think. So like I say, a month ago before all this stuff happened, I was on pace probably to do almost $1 million this year. And that's me running the business word of mouth for 5 years. That's a pretty big company for a construction company for only being around for 5 years. So I think I would be fine to downsize, and I guess I'll make a little bit less money, but I get to be around more.
Lily, she's probably a blast at this point. Like, you know, that age that she's getting into, and it just gets better, man. Milan turns 6 at the end of April, and I have her in everything, man. I just started Brazilian jiu-jitsu with her. We do tennis. And now even with tennis, it's not I'm throwing a ball and she's hitting it. We're having a back and forth volley. So
I missed all that for her growing up, I feel. I missed all the – even the things that you would consider just stupid little things that are whatever. Today she came outside. I was working in the backyard. She came outside. And we just dug up some worms. And it was awesome. There's something so stupid, like digging up worms in the backyard. But it was just awesome. I'm never around to do stupid stuff like that.
So you've been working the madman then, to running the company?
Like I said, dude, I am – it's a 24/7 job. I mean, I'm going out on Sunday. I'm going out on Saturday. Probably 4 out of the 5 days during the week, I'm leaving at 6:30 before they wake up. And chances are I might not get home before they go to bed. I usually try to rush home just so I can say goodnight before they go to sleep. So for the most part, I miss the whole week. I'm gone.
That's a tough business. You're out in the elements. You're working in the mornings and in the heat and the rain, the cold. And so I bet when you get home too, that's got to be exhausting.
Yeah, I'm just beat. No, I'm just beat. When I get home, I'm beat. And even not even physically working. For the past 2 years, I haven't been swinging a hammer. I've been doing the boss thing. You know what I mean? Right. Just like doing estimates and making sure guys are doing what they're supposed to be doing and yada, yada. Even doing that, I'm exhausted.
That's more exhausting, right?
Yeah, like all day, I'm just running. Every day is a rush. I wake up at 6:30 and I'm rushing. But it's just a constant rush. It gives you anxiety to live that. For the past month, I've had no anxiety whatsoever about anything. And I feel great. Like, I feel totally different than I did 2 months ago.
That's incredible.
Just body-wise, mental-wise, everything-wise. I just feel great.
Are you getting in fitness as well?
I get my fitness because I'm cutting down trees. I'm working all day, but I'm just home. You know what I mean? So Lily comes out. She helps me. She goes back inside. I don't necessarily work out, gym workout, but I get it all day.
So what are you doing at the house?
All right. So the background of this whole thing is I've lived here my whole life. I grew up in this house, right? So
This was your parents' house.
Yeah, this was my parents' house. My mother still lives here. 8 years ago, eight, 9 years ago when we got married, my mother let us put an addition on this house, to put a small addition on, a 2-bedroom, you know, kitchen, bathroom for me and Jean to live in before we got a house. And then we wound up just staying, and then we wound up switching sides with my mom. So now my mom has the smaller side over there, and then we completely remodeled this side when we moved in. So now we have 4 bedrooms, 2 baths over here, and my mom still lives on the other, it's a mother-daughter. So my mom lives on the other side. So the entire inside of the house is brand new, but the outside of the house has been neglected for 30 years because I don't have time to do anything. I don't have time to pull weeds and just, I don't have time for it. So now that's basically what I've been doing. As I leveled out the whole backyard. I cleared out the backyard with a backhoe. We're getting a pool. We got the hot tub. We built the little pool house thing that I showed you, the tree house. We're just doing all stuff in the outside now, basically.
Treehouse looks pretty legit, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right? We did that Little Rascals themed. That was the theme of it. No levels, no tape measures, no nothing. I took all extra crap that I had laying around from all these different jobs and just rigged it up. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to meme that one whenever we get this published and put some quotes on there, because that thing is legit. I think anybody that I meet that has that, you know, practical skill set to be able to do that stuff, I always look up to. I'm better with a spreadsheet and a computer than I'll ever be with a hammer and a nail. Sure.
And I do the same thing. I envy guys, you, who can do that stuff, because I can't. My brain doesn't allow me to do spreadsheets. And
what's funny is that's a theme in life, is you always envy what you can't do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I've been following you over the years and seeing the pictures of stuff you do, and that is just incredible. And one of the things you said around, I just haven't had a chance to do it to my house. I've been focusing on others. And same thing, man. Even working in the client service of a consulting firm, I've spent so much of my life recently, through my last 15 years of my career, focusing on other people's problems, right? My clients call and I have a problem. I'm there late at work at weekends, whatever.
Right.
And you neglect so much of your life. And I started getting my, you know, life in order, my finances, my own goals. It's nice to focus on yourself a little bit once in a while.
You know, like I said, knock on wood, nobody close to me has really been affected by this. I mean, we've had friends of friends who have been affected by it, but nobody in our actual inner circle. But it's also given us time to reflect. you know, it gives you time to reflect on your life. I really don't see it as a bad thing for me. I think it might actually wind up being the best thing that ever happened to me.
That's pretty wild, man. And when you're doing one of these remodeling projects, even in your house, I'm just looking at the pictures as we're talking, and I'll share it so that people get to see what we're talking through in this podcast. Man, how do you even start?
Everything you do at my house, I pretty much call it willy-nilly. No architect, no nothing. I just start, dude. Because this side of the house was only maybe 1,500 square foot, so it was a small house. And with two kids, we're just lacking space. We're always just lacking space, lacking space. So 2 weeks before Lily's birthday last year, we were like, oh, man, we need more space. So I'm like, screw it. I put on a 25 by 25 addition off the back. No blueprints, no nothing. We just started building. And we built it in 2 weeks. Finished.
No way. That's unbelievable. Yeah. How do you even start that? What's the first thought that goes through your mind after you've figured out, hey, I'm actually going to do this?
Yeah, I mean, it's how big is it going to be? And I just do a quick materialist of what I think I'm going to need, just get it delivered and just start building.
Because I find it funny, man. If you ask me right now, and I'm looking at the addition that you have out there that you with the doors and everything that you built, is that going to be like a bar?
So that's a bar and a pool house.
Yeah. So the bar and pool house that I'm looking at. If you said, Jonathan, I want a bar and pool house and I want you to draw it for me, right? And this is what I want. I would draw that thing and it would be a disaster. And so for you to start just building something, do you make mistakes? Or you just
I make mistakes all day.
Is it easy to just change it, a haircut, and you just cut a little bit deeper?
Like, yeah, dude, that's it.
Man, I'm just so impressed. Like it's pretty wild. So you're going to have a bar and pool house there. And then are you going to put a pool out in the back and everything?
Yeah, we have a pool. We have an above ground pool that I'm getting put in. And like I said, we just got a hot tub not that long ago. So the hot tub's out here. And I'm just trying to make the backyard just something really awesome for the kids and me.
Yeah. And do the kids, have you started to teach Lily how to swim yet?
Oh, yeah. She's a great swimmer. She's full on. I mean, she swims very well, actually. That's just like dad I am. I mean, I'm the dad that go to the pool club or whatever, and I'll get looks from other parents because I basically just throw her in the pool and say, swim, let's go. But that's why she was able to swim when she was 3 years old.
You had her swimming by three?
I mean, not full on swimming, but she was able to tread water and she would be able to get herself out of a problem at 3 years old.
Yeah, if she fell into a pool, you had time to go get her out or she could figure out
how
to
get her out. I would say by 3 years old, she was able to get herself out of the pool if she needed to.
That's a life skill, man. That's a serious safety skill.
That was my biggest thing because we're into boats and all summer we are just in water. Whether it's on vacation or on the boat or whatever. I mean, we're always in water. So for us, that's a super, super important thing.
We met a couple in one of our vacations from New Jersey. And the other thing that they said, and I'll tell you a quick story about Milan after this. They told me that in that area, you better teach your kids how to swim early because if they're playing in the backyard, it's really easy for them to end up by water.
Yeah.
So it's almost something that we got to learn right away.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, we don't have a pool yet. We're getting a pool, but for the last, you know, however long. Pretty much anything you do every day is somebody has a pool somewhere. There's water somewhere. I mean,
yeah. Well, New York City's not that. So it's not the top priority all the time. We had a pool in our building, but even that pool, you had to go down an elevator through multiple guarded doors.
Yeah, right.
Like, you never worry about your kid because if they're at the pool, you're there. I'll tell you, we met this couple and it was the reason why we taught Milan to swim. She didn't learn at three, though. She was almost 5 years old and we had been the lazy parents that put those life vests with floaties.
Yeah.
You know, that you throw in. And we loved it, right? You throw her in. We never had to worry about her because she was able to just hang out and give you a chance, take a break.
Right.
So we've been using that thing, man. And Milan was almost 5 years old. I think she was just about to turn five and we're down in Florida and she was wearing those things and my wife and I lost track in Milan. We'd always go down to the beach and start picking up seashells. And so we were probably maybe 40, 50 feet from her and we started conversation and this is how every tragedy happens with kids, right? And so my all of a sudden I turn around and I'm like, where's Milan? My daughter's in the freaking ocean, man. She saw this little girl that was out with her mother and decided she wanted to hang out with her. And I just look out and I see my daughter just treading water. And then I see these, you know, other adults trying to talk to my daughter, asking where her parents are. And so I'm, oh man. So I yell, Milan. They turn around and Dad of the Year award, I have to put my beer down to go get her, right? I put my beer down. Paula looks and she's, oh no, she realizes that she has to put her cocktail down. So both parents drinking, drop their drinks to go pick up their daughter who's floating in the ocean, right?
Right.
Dude, insane. So we walk up and there's clearly it's judge mania there, right? So I go in, I grab my daughter and I'm pulling out and I look at one of the adults. There was a grandmother there, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry about that. And she's like, don't tell me you're sorry. Apologize to your kid. And I was like, you make this worse, right? Like, I get it. I suck as a parent, right? And so then what was funny is we started talking to that couple, and they were sweethearts, and the daughter was even nicer. But the daughter was about Milan's age, and she was a fish, in and out of the ocean, no life gear, in and out of the pool. And so we were like, man, we got to teach our kid how to swim. And so right there and then that week, the rest of the week, we spent teaching Milan how to swim. But that's how we taught her how to swim. But it was 2 years late, man. Like, I admire that people got into that early. And we were just lazy. But I thought it was hilarious. The way we taught her is basically she almost drowned in an ocean. We're like,
right. Yeah, but the fact that she's not scared of the water is what makes it all possible, right? Because we have so many friends with kids our age, and a lot of them are just scared of water. They don't want to go in the water, right? So the fact that she just runs into the ocean, I mean, that's – she'll pick it up that because she's not scared.
Yeah, she was never scared. I don't really know where the fear of water comes from kids unless they've had a bad experience, but you're right. She's just never had it. It's pretty wild though. There's a high number. I think there's 300 or so kids under 5 that drown in pools every year. It's higher than you would think.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
It's, I think, the fifth leading cause of death in the United States.
I think a lot of that number isn't actual drowning on the spot. It's more the I forget what they call it, but a lot of kids actually drown in their sleep that night because they've swallowed so much water from being in the pool.
That's a dry drowning, right?
There's a name for it, but a lot of kids die after the fact because they've swallowed so much water that it just fills up their lungs.
Yeah, but as you're saying that, I'm looking this thing up. I'm on WebMD, the same place that if you have a cough, they tell you
you have
cancer, right?
Yeah.
So it's called dry drowning or secondary drowning.
Right.
I remember reading about that. You don't even know. It's water.
No, you don't even know. Well, even now, when Lily, because we take her on the boat, right? She goes in the tube, and I pull her on the tube, and she'll wipe out, and she'll swallow water. And we're always, how much water did she swallow? And then all night, we're just checking how much water did she swallow? Because it's a real thing.
When we were kids, and I'm sure you and I had similar childhoods, dude, I can't tell you how many times I just took a whole lake of water up the nose.
Oh, yeah.
And so I found out about this thing as an adult, and I was probably putting myself at some serious risk on a regular basis. And the way it sounds, it comes on, is that you have a little bit of trouble breathing, and then you get a fever or heart and cough. And if that happens hours after your kid was in a pool, you probably just think, oh my God, they got cold. Now they're they're starting to get a little sick. I would never think my kid is starting to drown to death.
Yeah, no, I mean, luckily we're onto that. So we always try to make sure. And we still rock the swimmies though. When we want to have a beer and just relax for a second, she's got to put her swimmies on. I mean, we're not playing any game. You know what I mean? If we're not watching her, she's still got to rock her swimmies and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous game for sure.
You're into a bunch of different stuff, man. I know you do fishing, golfing. We did some scuba. I still tell the story. What's that?
Have you gone scuba diving since?
You know what? Paul and I got officially certified the last time we were in Jamaica. I don't know if you saw on Facebook. We went to Jamaica about 2 years ago now. And her and I took one of those beginning certification classes, which was really cool. Do you remember the scuba instructor that took us out?
Oh, my God.
I don't know why. I still tell the story about how you basically saved my life and I ran out of air. And he was telling me, no, man, you're not out of air. And I'm literally, I'm out of air.
Oh, my God.
That was crazy. You were going to give me your air. And it's funny because you do those drills, right? And I just remember you going to give me your air because you realized, and for some whatever reason, he thought I was fine. And you went to give me your air. And I remember going through my mind being, okay, we trained for this. It should be fine. And then I remember my mind being, fuck that. I'm going to the top as fast as possible.
Yeah.
I absolutely did everything you were not supposed to do and panicked. But man, I tell you what, that was scary.
Yeah, but when you say we trained for that, you're talking about the most bootleg training. We didn't train for it. I mean, it probably shouldn't be allowed to be that because you get in a situation that crazy shit happens. But it wasn't really much training. I mean, we were in a 4-foot deep pool and it's okay, this is how the air works. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's probably part of the reason why I panicked because there's a difference between doing a technique in a 4-foot pool where you have air versus I ran out of air. I'm 25 feet under and does this thing still work or can I do it? Yeah, you're right.
I was actually asking Gene before. So did I convince you to come scuba diving or were you already going and I met you down there?
I said I wanted you convinced me. You're like, let's do it. And then we had a good time. And I think we went 2 more times. We went scuba diving 3 times that week. That was a cool place. It was Franklin R. Roosevelt or Franklin D. Roosevelt Hotel, right?
Yeah. Yep. And we were going to go back something about now. We were supposed to go back and obviously we canceled or she never actually booked it, but we were talking about, we want to go back there because it's an awesome place.
Yeah, the setup, I mean, I remember reading it and you get a nanny all day. Reviews, and there's 1,000 Yelp reviews and they're all, the nanny's the best part. It was awesome.
It really was great. No, that's a really cool place. I don't think I've been scuba diving since then, but I'm definitely jonesing to go scuba diving because it's awesome.
We should make some plans. When this whole coronavirus goes through, we should definitely make some plans.
I'm down, man. We're always down for whatever, so.
What are you guys doing for childcare right now? Is Lily in school and doing things online?
No, Jean does stuff with her all day inside. So she missed kindergarten this year by like a couple of weeks. She was born in October. So she was still in preschool / daycare. So we just do stuff with her. Mostly Jean does stuff with her during the day. But I think she's, when I compare her to her friends, I mean, I think she's pretty much above the, she's above the line. So I think she'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, these kids, it's wild.
She retains everything.
Well, it's interesting because whenever I was 5 years old, I was basically given a flat basketball and told to go in the corner and not make noise. That was the way I was raised. And I look at my daughter and we have her in so many different activities and stuff. And then you look at it and you start having this, you know, some way parenting's a crisis these days, right? Like, oh my God, if my kid can't do multiplication by the time they're 6 years old, they're going to be unemployed and homeless by the time. And at the end of the day, man, you have two parents that are engaged in their life and active in helping them. I think you're already 99.9% ahead of most of the world.
Yeah. I mean, besides, obviously you need to have the basics and stuff, but I'm not really I didn't go to college. I made it through high school, but I hated school. School wasn't my thing. I didn't go to college and I consider myself successful. I don't think it's totally necessary to be 100% school oriented. I think you said more learning about life is way more important. And then my wife, Jean, she went to school. She graduated on the dean's list from John Jay in the city. And now she owns a florist. So she didn't really need it. She said she got great life experiences from it, but it's not the end all be all for sure anymore, I don't think.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting thing because you're actually the first person that's had that experience. I had a bunch of different guests on now, and everybody has different forms and shapes of careers and background. The last one, actually, Spencer Colbert, he dropped out of high school 16, and then he ended up coming back and going to Howard University. And now he's in the corporate world doing sales around lead generation. But I think you're the first person that I've interviewed that actually didn't go to college, but you went the entrepreneurial route and built a business. And so you were young, right? So how long did you do the employee route till you were like, okay, I can run this myself? And how do you even go down that path of learning? Because you had to learn an MBA probably, and you had to probably do that in a year versus most people getting multiple years, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is too, I also got paid to learn. So I actually got paid to learn. And that's why I think that. So I don't know. I was right out of high school. I probably jerked around for a little while, bullshit jobs here and there. But then by 21, 22, I got my first job at construction was at a very, very high-end cabinet shop. And so I learned stuff. When you're building cabinets and whatnot, everything has to be exactly perfect, right? We're talking about 64ths of an inch. Really, really precise stuff. Once you learn that stuff, when you're doing framing or doing an addition or a deck or something like that, you don't have to be that precise. So it makes that much more easier to pick up on that stuff. So I did that, and then I worked for a company out in Short Hills for maybe, I would say, 4 years maybe, and I learned more of the building stuff, the additions, the decks, the bathroom, stuff that. And then I pretty much just went out on a limb and just said, I can do this myself, because you don't – in order to have a business, right, so you could have a construction company, you don't necessarily need to know how to do anything. You just need to know how to run a business. Right? You can have a successful painting company and not know how to paint. You need to be able to hire the right people and do that, but you don't even necessarily need to know how to do anything. I did. So that's how I started the company, but I've just made mistakes for years. And once you make one mistake, you don't ever make it again and you just keep moving. I don't know. I mean, that's it. I mean, you got to take risk.
And so was it a big change for you being able to run the business versus execute on whatever directions? I guess
that's where my wife comes into play, because I'm not a good businessman.
I mean, what do you mean by that? You don't build a company you have from scratch without having a little bit of savvy. So what part do you decide that you're not good at?
As far as numbers and doing the books and
got it. And the administration part, right?
The administration part of it, yeah. Like, I'm definitely very good at the customer relation. I'm great at that part of it and executing what you want, right? You could just tell me, what your dream is, and I can definitely make it happen with my hands. But as far as the administration part, I'm terrible at that. I still am terrible at it. And that's why I need her.
That's a brutal part of the business. It's interesting because you look at different businesses, the classic case studies out there. You see these names out there. You think about Steve Jobs, right? He had Wozniak behind him. Even Zuckerberg, he's become the face of Facebook. He had multiple people that helped him build that. And so he was the creative genius behind it, but there were people that were helping him execute the actual development. There were people that helped him execute the administration, turn it into business. And so it's always interesting because you end up building something and sometimes you get point in a position where it's yours, but you also have to, like you said, to hire the right people or have the right people to fill in the weaknesses, because none of us are good at everything.
That's the thing. You can't be good at everything. So, I mean, even the guys, when I hire guys, the two guys that I have right now that are still working that didn't get laid off, they're better than me times 10. And I think that's the whole thing about starting and running a successful business is trying to find employees that are actually better than you and being okay with that. I'm totally fine with the fact that they're better than me because they're making my business. The employees are the most important part of it. Doesn't matter how big of a business you have, whether you're Facebook or you're Chase Bank or your Thompson Contracting, your employees are the most important part.
Yeah, and it's not easy to find good ones, right?
No, especially in my line. In my line of work, there's a lot of riffraff in construction.
Well, I would think with your line of work and the age that you were when you started your company, the typical person that you would want that's experienced is probably a little bit older.
I'm the youngest guy.
I look at you, I'm going to run this guy around the coals, right?
No, I'm the youngest guy of the team.
Yeah.
By a lot.
So how was that? I mean, I'm sure because these guys, they can be quite candid and they're not dumb. They're street smart, right? And so I'm sure it was not easy looking at you, and experience in that world definitely means.
But I feel that's all part of, what do you say? It's definitely hard. It's definitely difficult, but I make sure that I treat them extremely well, with respect. I take care of them. And in return, I get respect from them, right? So I don't think it matters really how old you are. If somebody's treating you with respect and the way you should be treated, then, you know, they reciprocate that. So that's the most important thing, I think.
So how was the switch over to running a florist company as well? How's Gene enjoy that? I remember you guys were just acquiring that when we met. So it's been a few years now.
Yeah. So yeah, it's got to be about 5 years. Yeah. She killed it, man. I mean, she took over that business, and the lady who owned it before her was older. It was more of just a hobby for her. And I mean, Gene, I think she either tripled or quadrupled the net worth of the business.
Wow.
In 5 years, which is almost unheard of because she hustles too. I mean, we both just hustle. Yeah, I mean, she killed it. So I don't know. I'm trying to convince her to sell the florist, possibly. Just because I know there's a ceiling to a florist, right? Like, there's no ceiling to my business. I could grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, and I could be building casinos, you know, in Atlantic City. The florist, yeah. There's a ceiling to that. And I don't know how much more it could be worth. Yeah, I mean, she killed it. She enjoys it, so.
That's really cool, man. And so if you downsized your company and you stayed small and went with this whole new reflection you've had over the coronavirus quarantine, are there certain things within the business that you could do, certain types of jobs that you would probably limit yourself to, or would you still stay flexible and just do, you know, a couple of jobs and it'd be more around the volume versus the actual type of work?
It's hard to specialize in one thing, right? Like if I could, I would love to just specialize in $100,000 kitchens. When you take the other thing for me is, so I own this construction company, right? And I would say I'm never more than 15 minutes from my house. I don't take any job that's farther. If it's going to take me 15 minutes to get there, I'm not going. So I have a small area here that I'm trying to stay within. So you really got to be open to doing everything.
Well, that's neat because I guess if you're staying in a certain radius of your place and you probably are becoming quite a name brand in that area.
I think most people in Middletown know who I am or know of Thompson Contracting, I would think. It's a big town, but again, I don't really leave Middletown. So, and I've literally been as successful as I am just within this small radius.
That is really cool. I bet they probably at some point start to become friends and people you run into on a regular basis.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you. So, well, you probably know this. Once you have kids, a lot of your friends don't think you're cool anymore. right? And once we had
Dave, man, that my friends still think I'm the coolest thing to slice since you had kids, but I still got it.
So like you said, we're young. So when we had Lily 5 years ago, we were what, 26, 27, and all our friends are still going out, getting hammered all weekend and stuff. They don't call you anymore. So you start to, and again, we own our own businesses. We're very busy, yada, yada, yada. So you start to break apart. I would say a lot of my friends right now are from people that I've done work for, and we hang out all the time.
That's awesome. Well, that's also a testament to the work you do, because unless you do good work, people aren't going to be inviting you over to the next barbecue. But if you do some good work, that then creates the trust, and then the trust creates a friendship, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's really, I really do. I use it as an angle to make friends. I really do. And I've met a lot of really, really cool people that I really enjoy hanging out with. And most of them are customers at this point. They're not customers anymore. Now they're friends, but they started off as customers.
Yeah. And so this whole new reflection you've had, I guess, is that going to keep you in the area then? Or has it been as drastic as let's sell the farm and head to the beach and live the good life there?
I mean, you're bringing up a new aspect, this whole thing. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, so 6 months ago, the goal was we wanted to buy a house in Florida and be able to go there whenever we want and this and that. And now with the new reflection and thinking, I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't think I'd ever leave the town we're in, because I love the town we're in. I love the piece of property we have. I don't think I'd ever leave here permanently, but who knows? I mean,
interesting. And that was the leading question. So it was a little bit of a trick question, because I was going to lead you right into a proposition that we'll have to continue to talk about. So I haven't been scuba diving for a while, but what I have gotten into is selling. Have you gotten into any selling at all?
I haven't. I mean, I've been on sailboats before, but I've never actually got into sailing, but I'm down. I'm 100% down. I'm down for whatever.
Man. So sailing is probably, that euphoria you get when you're scuba diving and you come up and you got that air and you saw that piece and stuff. I think sailing's probably right around there as far as creating this happiness. And what I found is this app out there that says get a boat. I think it's Get Your Boat or something like that. And so what's really cool about this app, we went down and I said, I've never chartered a boat before, but that'd be a lot of fun, right? Just you and your family and just charter a boat by yourself and go out for a couple hours. And I was like, maybe it'll be $150, $200. I'll go do it. And we got this like app and I saw these sailboats, 50 feet, 48 feet, and you could do it for the whole day. And so they take you out snorkeling and they open bar. So you're drinking and you're going to these different islands and you're just hanging out. And we did it and we've become addicted to it. Our next vacation, we're looking at trying to rent a catamaran with, where you go and just, you basically live on that boat. You have a captain and a first mate and they're making food and taking you out. What's really neat about that is like the people that we've met that own these things, they basically did what we're just talking about, selling the farm. So we met the first couple, they're living on the boat and they're like, yeah, we sail for 6 months. We do these jobs. People yourself come out, we take them out. And then 6 months we go sailing ourselves around the world. And the other guy, he lives in a house and he does the sailing as well. He's like, hey, this is my office. I work a few months on, a few months off. And they were talking to him. What's awesome is we're always dealing with people when they're happy. And so they're on vacation, they're on a boat. If you're not happy on a boat, then there's not a whole lot else you can do for somebody. And on top of that, we make these lifelong friends from all over the world. And so when we go to places, they legitimately mean it when we say, call us, because we'll take you around, because I just gave them the best time of their life. And so I was like, man, what the hell am I doing in an office 10 hours a day breaking my back? Talk about some people figuring out the good life.
Well, you gotta really have a pair of balls to do that. But you gotta really, I mean, that's a huge thing to do, be able to do that.
And I don't know. I don't know if you could pull it off with kids. I don't know. I mean, you have to have, you said you have to have a lot of guts to do it. They certainly have the business. Keep a nice boat and you have good customer service. It's what you said. The word spreads around pretty quickly. I've given everybody and their brother the names of the people that I've sailed with because I've had a great experience. I think the hard part would be, you've got to get your kids through some type of education.
Right,
I don't know. Maybe you go the homeschooling route or something, but man, it's tempting. Let's go down to Colombia, get on the coast there and just start giving sail rides to tourists.
Hell yeah. I think I'm too materialistic to be able to actually do that. I have to do too many things. I mean, I have to hang out outside and, you know what I mean, have a couple of drinks outside on the deck, and I have to go golfing. There's too many things I have to do to just be secluded to the boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. I think you probably would. Yeah, that's the dilemma that people ourselves are in, right? We're ambitious sometimes to a fault, because we both joke that I'm ambitiously lazy. I want to be. I have the hippie in me. You wouldn't believe. There's nothing that I have to do rather than sit on a beach and drink a beer and just you know, watch the sun for hours. But then I also have my stuff.
And some hobbies that I have to do. And so,
yeah.
So what we did 3 or 4 years ago, we actually joined a boat club, right? So we paid X amount of dollars to be a member of this boat club, and the boat club's all over the country. All right. So we go to Disney World, we go to Florida, we can go to the lake that's right over there, and I have a boat that's already paid for, and we can just hop on it and go. And there's all different kinds of boats. So if you want to go fishing, I got a 2020 27 foot fishing boat, macked out, everything you could possibly want on a fishing boat, ready to go. You want to go party in the river with a bunch of people? We got a pontoon boat. You can fit 20 people on it and have a party. You want to go water skiing? There's a jet boat. You can go water skiing, pull the tube, whatever. You want to go up the Nyack and see, go up into New York Harbor and see all that stuff? There's a big 32-foot boat with a queen-size bed and a kitchen in it. You could sleep over on it, whatever you want to do. It's a really cool thing that we did because we love being on the water. So we basically have access to, and wherever we go. We go to Florida, we go to Fort Lauderdale. I have a boat. It's already paid for. We just call up. All right, we're coming. We get a boat. We go. See ya.
Is it almost a timeshare type concept, but with boats?
It's not really a timeshare. It's just I pay a monthly fee, right? And I don't think it's really a timeshare. It's basically just a club. It's a club. So at my particular club at home where I am, there's 10 boats for us to choose from. So any given day, I could call up tomorrow morning and it's a beautiful day. I wake up. Hey, listen, I'm going to come down and grab a boat. Okay, come on down. And I just go get on a boat and go.
Wow. That's pretty cool. And so you available then anytime you want to go, or do you have to do some upfront planning and scheduling?
Not really. I mean, I could call right now and say I'm coming in the morning and we'll be on a boat tomorrow.
That's incredible. That's a really good idea. Yeah. They're networked at different locations. And so if you're somewhere else outside of your immediate boat club area, you can use it there as well.
Yeah. Like I said, we go to Fort Lauderdale, Orlando. They're all over the country. Yeah. It's really awesome. It really is. It's a great thing.
I'm surprised they haven't done that with cars, man. You have the rental car service, but
especially in the city, I feel like.
You pay a monthly fee.
Oh, I need a car for the day. Oh, I'm just go grab a car.
Yeah. And you always have a car available and you grab it and you bring it back and you don't deal with anything. I mean, I know they have Zipcar and other stuff. I wonder why maybe the insurance economics or something that doesn't work. But I can't think the insurance is all that much different than the insurance you're going to need for, you know, a recreational vehicle. So that's interesting. I'm surprised they haven't done that. That's wild. So you can take anybody. You can take your daughter and your son, and you take your friends, whatever. It doesn't, as long as you're with the regular roles of occupancy on the boat. And
Yeah, dude, we go. Like I said, I think last summer we had a birthday party on the pontoon boat. I think we had 15, 20 people on it just partying. Wow. And then, you know, we could pull up to restaurants and whatever. I mean, I usually fish like right downtown Manhattan there, right in the harbor, right by the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I fish right there.
That's nuts, man. You've been down there that way. But, you know, I'm so glad that we've done this podcast and we've reconnected, because I always enjoy, man. I had a great time at that Jamaican vacation. I enjoyed meeting you and your wife, and we've always kept in touch on Facebook, but it's a damn shame. It's been years that we haven't done stuff and you've been that close. We got to make sure that doesn't happen. We got to get connected more often.
Yeah, that's it. Definitely. Anytime you want to go fishing, I can pick you up at Chelsea Pearson, go fishing.
So what are you catching out there? Are these fish coming out with nuclear lighting on them and three eyes, or are they legit clean?
I don't know. Gene doesn't like to eat anything that I catch.
Yeah, but that's a mom, man. That's a whole different bar. I don't think we ever rise to that bar.
Yeah, I don't know. You catch some pretty big fish, especially right now. There's some big fish out there. They catch like striped basses out there. There's a lot of stuff, man. Oh, she loves it, man.
Yeah, she's caught her own fish already.
Yeah, so we went last year. We went to Florida. We went out fishing in Florida. She caught mahi mahi last year. She loves it, man. She really does. She just loves being on the water. She's a fish. She loves it. Yeah. I said, we take her tubing. I mean, we're on the boat all summer. We really are. Probably 3-4 days a week, we're on the boat.
Wow, that's really cool, man. And you're into the whole deep sea fishing as well, right?
Yeah, we go for tuna fishing. And yeah, I mean, I'm just into, I just love being on the water. It's great.
It's interesting. Fishing, I think, is one of those things when you're a kid. I look back at the memories that I have, and there's a few that are always really well remembered, right? Very vivid in your mind. You know, one is the person that taught you to ride the bike, and that first day, if you're able to ride that bike without the training wheels, I think that is a memory that everybody has. Fishing, I think, is up there with those types of memories, right? If I look back and I think about some of the interesting experiences that I remember, I don't know what it is about fishing, but it's being out there in the water, whether you're on a boat or you're in the creek. In my area, we have actually a Fishmas Eve where I'm from. So that's one of the biggest events in the whole western part of the state. But I just remember getting geared up and getting out there in the creek and throwing a rod in, and first time you get that bite. And so I'm sure you're just creating some pretty amazing memories in her head doing both the boating here and as well as the deep sea fishing. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. So like last year, cool story. Last year we went out. Now, again, I spend a lot of time on the water, right? So we went out last year and we were surrounded by sperm whales. I've never seen anything before. There were whales that were three times, the boat's 27 foot. There were whales that were three times the size of our boat, 10 yards from the boat, just jumping out of the water, swallowing fish. It was amazing. Right there, right down what I'm talking about, right by the Statue of Liberty.
Wow. And so how did she react to those when she saw them?
Oh, she wasn't there for that.
Okay.
She wasn't
that was a dad day, huh?
That was an all guys trip. But she would have reacted better than some of the guys that were on the boat. There was one kid that was crying in the front of the boat. Bring me back to shore. I'm like, dude, I'm not going anywhere. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen out here. I'm not going anywhere. She would have been all about it, though, if she was out there.
Yeah, I mean, our kids are, the Lily's like Milana, they're such maniacs. The hard thing would have been trying to keep them from trying to pet them. Or that's just not what you're supposed to do. That's pretty wild. Yeah. So it sounds like everything's going pretty well for the family, and you guys are going through a little bit of a calming down period and slowing down, which I think a lot of people have welcomed, and sounds like it's been a great experience for you all. It sounds like the family is healthy and doing all right and just managing through this, you know, coronavirus craziness, huh?
Yeah, everybody's right. Like I said, we're doing pretty good.
Very good, man. Very good. Well, then how about this? Some of that you already said, and one of the reasons why I always draw this out is when we're talking is I think it sets a nice stage for when we start to get into the deep questions. And so the rest of the podcast format is really focused on opening up the hood and really getting into your perspectives on fatherhood and the impact it's had and your philosophies and the principles that you're taking with it and balancing life. Right. And then I have a rapid fire part where I'm going to bring in Milan and she's going to give you some doozies. So I hope you're ready for a couple curveballs. Yeah, and then we'll wrap it up. I got one more good part where you have to basically write your ode. It doesn't have to be completely thought out, but it's really the legend when your kids one day are talking about old pops. What do you want them to say about you? And then we'll just leave it off with where that people can find you and follow you and where your company and your wife's florist company and everything. So if they ever are in the area or are thinking of remodeling construction, they can look you up as well as just follow your adventures.
Cool. Sounds good, man.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, man.
All right, brother. Well, let's jump into the deep questions for the part two then. And so the very first one's broad, whatever comes to mind, shoot it out. We got great editors, so we can always change it if we need to and get it out. So I'll never make you regret saying something and we'll always make sure you get your approval. I tell everybody that up front. So what does being a dad mean to you and how has it changed your life perspectives?
It means I don't know what I would be doing right now if I didn't have kids. I just feel like this is where I'm supposed to be right now. And the kids are just great, man. It's just an awesome thing to get to be a part. Every day is a new book, basically, right? That.
And so did you always know you wanted to be a father?
Oh, yeah. I've always loved kids. I'm a child. I'm still a child.
No, I would have never guessed that when I...
No matter where we go, I'm always the biggest kid there. So I just love having fun. And it's so easy to have fun with children. It's not always fun to have fun with my friends who are 35. It's not always easy to have fun. It's always easy to have fun with them. You could be doing anything. Like I said, she came out and we just dug for worms. I had so much fun in that 10 minutes just digging for worms. It was amazing.
And kids don't want anything from you except to have fun, right? Like, especially at Lily's age. You're her hero. So any moment that she can spend with dad, they're not angling for it. Well, Actually, that's a lie. They're angling.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. Definitely angling.
That was too far. They're angling for your attention. That's for sure.
Yeah, right, right. That's the best part of it, is just playing that game with them. And he said they just want attention. Like, you don't have to be doing anything fun, anything. Just attention, doing anything is awesome.
And Dave, when you had Lily, I know you started your business young, so you probably took on responsibility early in your life. And you said you screwed around a little bit after high school, but it always seems like you've kept the track on making sure you were responsible. But were there certain things that you look at, you know, before Lily that you had to stop doing or change when you had her that rose a level of maturity?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the biggest thing for me was, so let's just say from, I don't know, say freshman year of high school, all I did was smoke pot. That was it. I mean, I was smoking pot all day long for 10 years, right? Just always smoking pot. As soon as my daughter was born, I was like, this is done. I got to be done with this. And I really haven't smoked pot since then.
No kidding. So you stopped smoking because of your daughter?
Yeah, because you realize when you're smoking pot, you're in a fog, basically, right? So I just realized that my daughter was born. I don't want to be in the fog. I just don't want to do that anymore. So that was the biggest thing for me that I changed in my life as soon as she was born, was I literally just didn't smoke pot anymore. It's probably one of the better gifts I've gotten from having children, was just stopping smoking pot. So that's pretty awesome.
That's interesting. So in that way of making sure that you focused on her and your family, you actually had you take a vice out of your life that probably was not productive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although fun.
Although it's not, I think sometimes I think back on it, it'd be nice to do it again, but I don't know. I don't want to be in a fog. I don't want to not remember what happened today. You know what I mean? I just feel like everything is so important now. It definitely gives you a kick in the ass when you have kids about what you got to change about your life. That's for sure.
And it's interesting. So one of the comments you made earlier, and I want to dive into this, and I didn't dive into it there because of this. So you've had these life changes such as that, and you've run a business, and you mentioned, you know, which I just think is such a fascinating thing. And I remember when we first met, you know, you didn't go to college, right? And you went to work and you built this company, and a lot of people I truly believe the wrong reasons think that you must go to college. That's the only path. And you've been uber successful not doing that. Now, when you look at your children and you've lived that, you know, early part of your life, and it's driven to who you are and it's created your lifestyle that you've had, would you be okay with your kids taking a similar path, or do you have this expectation in your head that your kids will go to college?
No, I have. It's actually the complete opposite, I think. And I think it's almost like taboo. People will think it's taboo to have this outlook, but I truly do not believe that college is very important. I really don't. I believe that learning life skills and being an entrepreneur, there's nothing better than working for yourself. It's invaluable. There's no value you could put to that, right? I can get up on Tuesday, go to work, and at 12 o'clock, if I want to go fishing, I just go fishing, right? I can do, Gene wants to leave work at 10 o'clock to come home to do something, we just go. We want to go on vacation, we just go. We don't have to answer to anybody. There's no value you can put on that. Like I said, I'm actually the complete opposite, and some people look at me, I'm crazy sometimes, but I'm definitely not going to be the one to push for college. If anything, I'm going to be pushing for the complete opposite and pushing to be an entrepreneur and start a business.
I love that, because I haven't heard that yet. And that is something that's huge. And you used the word taboo, and I don't necessarily disagree, but I have such a issue with it. It's so fascinating to me that we basically raise our kids to become employees of a company.
Right.
But yet the people that we actually admire are the ones that go out, and you said earlier, take some risks and really jump into the deep end and learn something.
Right. Like you don't admire an employee of a business. You admire a boss. You admire an owner of a company, the CEO of a, that's who you admire. You don't admire an employee.
It's interesting, though, that's the training that college gets you, right? You go, the path that we send most of our children down is, all right, go get good grades, take these standardized tests, make sure you do good on the standardized tests, get yourself into college, get yourself an internship so you can build up your resume so then you can get a job. And then go work your 50 hours a week and impress your boss so that you can get a promotion. And hopefully your company creates enough titles that you can continue to get promoted every few years so you can go out and post it on Facebook and everybody will be so impressed with what you do.
You know, if you do, not to say that that's wrong, because look, there's no way that somebody who doesn't go to college could become the CEO of a huge company, right? And do that. But I think it's a much longer path to success than just starting your own business early, right? I feel like you'd be successful so much faster by just taking the dive and being an entrepreneur early than you would be doing the college route and trying to become a part of an already established company that you have to fight to get. You know what I'm saying? You have to fight and you have to be the best at everything to get to the top. When if you just do your own thing, you are at the top already. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, it's interesting you're saying that because you're right. And more fascinating is you look at some of the most successful, when you say the large company and not going to college or finishing college, the large companies, the most successful founders of those companies have been people that haven't done that, right? Like Steve Jobs, yeah. Zuckerberg, yeah. Larry Ellison, none of them.
That's a very small amount of people who've been able to do that, right? It's not a large number of people who are able to actually do that.
That's true. But it's interesting because it's a very small amount of people that go to college and get to the top too. So it's sure. I think when you look at the median earnings, there's some proof out there that from a median earnings that if you don't go to college, your lifetime. But that to me is one of those things where statistics is used out of context, right? Because the people that are included that didn't go into college are some people that probably also didn't try to go to work. And so in some ways, I think they're a good metric, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And so it's interesting. It's interesting because one of the things I'm constantly, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, I'm always trying to teach Milan how to be a entrepreneur and business-minded person. And so one of the things
question to answer.
Yeah.
And we teach Lily every day is customer relations. That's all it is. It's customer relations and how you deal with people. Be respectful. Whatever Lily does, she does her little candy shop. She in her fictitious world right now, she owns a bakery. And we have fake customers come in and she deals with things. I'll say to her, I'll order ice cream and she'll give me the ice cream. And I'll say to her, I'm sorry, but this isn't what I ordered, but you need to fix this. Okay. And she'll go and she'll fix it. No problem. I'll take care. I feel it's customer relations. That's it. That's the whole thing. And just dealing with people.
That is fascinating. My wife she's just recently in the last 2 years left corporate America and started her own real estate venture. And so she'll take Milan into the office and they have a pretty funny video out there of Milan answering customer calls. And so Milan now, you know, finds it awesome to try to talk to a client. And when she's playing games with herself on a phone, she'll be like, mommy, daddy, this is a client call. It's really important. And she'll call and she's like, okay, what house do you want? Okay, that sounds beautiful. I don't know about that house. So she's going through that customer service. One thing I've actually started to try to teach her is the value of negotiation, right? So that she'll come over and be like, I'll make you food. Here's your food, sir, and stuff. Well, Milan, is it free? She's like, yeah, you never give anything for free, right? So I'm trying to teach her, hey, when you do something of value, you should get compensated for that and you know, not just give it away. But that's a great one, the customer service and client service. I think you're right because that's something, my goodness.
It doesn't matter what you're in. It doesn't matter what business you're in. You have to deal with people. If you can't deal with people, you can't do anything. So to me, that's the most important part is just being able to deal with people. There's so many people that are different. And I think being able to deal with people is more important than anything you're going to learn at college.
Yeah. And tell me, tactically, one of the things I always try to get out of this show is if you're sitting here listening, right, and somebody's, oh, yeah, it must be nice or it might be easy. You've run a business. I've never run a business. I'm out in middle management or I'm just getting started and I have a family. I've never been in customer service. I wouldn't even know how to teach my kid that. Tactically, when you made the comment, I'll say that's not what I ordered. What else do you do or would you recommend somebody to just work with to teach your kids how to deal with people on a day in and day basis to get good at that?
I would say it's probably just the old saying that's been around forever. Just treat people the way you would want to be treated. Right? I mean, I think that's That's it. I mean, I really think that's it. If you treat people with respect, you're going to get respect back.
The 101, you know? Man, right? 101.
If you go into a Shake Shack and the guy behind the thing has a bad attitude and just not being friendly or not being very helpful, then that's what you're going to get back, right? As a customer, right? If we go out to dinner and the waiter's being a stiff and he's not doing what he's supposed to do, well, then I'm going to act the same way. So as I said, I think that's the most important thing, is to treat people the way you want to be treated and teach them that. Because even at 5 years old, you can learn that. She knows that. Like I said, we do our little things and she's able to deal with all the BS complaints that I come up with and all this stuff. She could probably literally run a business right now.
That's really cool, man. That's a great technique. I'm going to start using that myself with Milan on, you know, even just simple stuff of playing house. And
you got to get them. You can't make it easy for them.
Well, what's interesting, David, is when you're playing those games or she's playing restaurant, I think as a parent, you're natural. And man, I've seen a million of us do it, right? And I've actually never seen somebody do what you just said. The first thing that we do is, oh, the food's amazing. Thank you. Right. You did such a great job. So we're right. constantly putting in this environment that they make something or do something and we say, great. But we never give them that training early that says, hey, this was cold.
Right. So that's a whole nother topic, is this whole thing where everybody plays soccer and everybody gets a trophy because everybody did great. That's not how I'm choosing to raise my kids.
What do you think about that?
I think you win or you lose. Now, whether you win or you lose, you still did a good job as long as you tried hard at whatever you were doing, but you can still lose, right? So, yeah, you might have tried really, really hard to make those cookies perfect, but at the end of the day, you did burn them. So next time, we got to try not to burn them.
Yeah, that's a fascinating point. I just talked about that with my last guest, and he does competitive bodybuilding, and he's a massive guy, and he just got second and third, and we were just talking about, obviously, he's into sports and athletics, this whole participation kind of methodology that's been going on, or the way people are treating each other in that sports. I'm conflicted on it. And I grew up in the old school too, where my coaches, if they were yelling at you, that meant they cared. And so good love. There's winners and losers. And so if you put in the effort and you did the work, and you'll get that in game day and you'll win, right? Then I just try to take a step back and think about this, but just check this out. We say that, yet if you go to a 5K, every adult gets a participation medal.
Right.
If you join a CrossFit club, you don't get winners and losers. Everybody's going after their PR, right? And so right. You know, you basically are getting a participation if you beat yourself from the last time you went.
Right? Right.
And so I wonder, and I guess where I start getting conflicted is, we were in sports and you're an athletic guy, and Spencer, who I talked to before, was an athletic guy, and I've had a pretty decent athletic success when I was playing sports young. Back, I feel like I give my Al Bundy stories a little bit, right? But I think it's, in some ways, the people that talk about that are people like us that got the start. We got to play. We got to win. And so, but I look back now as I'm getting older, and how did it feel to be that kid who never got to play 1 minute, but showed up to practice every day to help us? He wasn't getting any participation trophy, right? He was there every day. And so I just wonder if there's a way to celebrate the journey and the self-improvement. And like you said, you burn something, you got to be accountable. So you want to teach that. Not everything you do is going to be celebrated, but you also create this environment where the goal is to get improved, yet you also have winners and losers. You go to a 5K, there are winners and losers. The top three people get the win columns, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's more about, well, I don't know. I feel all I want is, I don't care what we're doing. It could be coloring. It could be playing soccer. It could be fishing. It could be anything. I just want you to give it your all. That's it. You don't have to win. If you are in a competition and you win, then that's awesome. But as long as you tried your best and you didn't half-ass it, then that's a win.
That's a great point.
That's what I feel like when you say, when you do the 5K or the CrossFit or something, that all the adults get a participation trophy, basically. Yeah, because they wouldn't – take CrossFit for a perfect example. You wouldn't be showing up to do CrossFit every day if you weren't going to give it your all. So if you're giving it your all, you deserve to be acknowledged if you give it your all. If you're not going to give it your all, what are we really doing?
I think you're right, right? You just turned one of my points a little bit around is you're getting a PR, which means that's your personal best. You wouldn't be doing better than the last time you did if you weren't giving your all, because that's by definition improving, right?
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. It's all about coming in and giving your best. I tell Milan, I try to keep the pressure off her and the activities that we do. Have fun, number one. Two, give it your best. And then three, don't quit. And then I always say, and always remember, no matter what, if you're doing those three, dad and mom are your best fans, right?
Exactly, yeah. And I try to, I mean, at this stage in the game, she's five. I try not to put any pressure on her at all. I want her to want to try everything. Soccer, baseball, golf, tennis. I want her to find her niche of something that she's good at. So I'm trying not to put too much pressure on her. I want her to want to do a lot of stuff. You know, because that's how I was growing up. I played everything. I did everything. There's nothing I wouldn't do. And then I sit here today. I can pretty much hang with, I mean, you can pretty much name anything. I can hang. Regardless of what it is. It could be painting, fishing, CrossFit. It doesn't matter what it is. I'll be able to hang. I might not be the best at any of them. I'm not going to be the best at any of them, but I can hang at all of them and have a good time no matter what I'm doing. And that's the way I want them to be.
Well, if you're open to getting them into a lot of different things, you've got to try this week, man. Let me know how it goes. On YouTube, there's this dance videos. And so Milan's been wanting to get a dance. Clearly can't do anything around here with the classes. And so I was like, there's got to be some pretty cool classes at this point. We found this kids hip hop dancing performance studio. I'll shoot you the link after we're done.
Okay.
Man, it is so much fun. And it's a 7-minute video where the kids follow the steps of the instructor and there's other kids in the background and then they do it to the song. And so I started trying to do this thing with Milan, man. I'll tell you what, I don't think I had a whole lot of appreciation for dancing, especially pop music dancing.
Right.
And I was sweating 3 minutes into this video. I had to go get water. It's pretty cool. And this studio has this series of videos. And so if your daughter to dance or just music and dancing around, it's so much fun. And it's hilarious to try to do it with them.
I'll check that out. Like I said, I just want her to be, what do you say, multifaceted at this age. So yeah, I want experience everything you can possibly experience. Because then you have such a greater, you have such a larger thing to pick what you want to do. I think it's a very important, right now is a very important time to get them to let them see what all these different things are that you could possibly get into.
Yeah. And so when you're with that philosophy, you're taking towards raising your children and the openness and the focus on entrepreneurism and the client service. What have you taken from that experience so far and applied it to your career? Or it almost seems like I already know the answer to taking what you from your career and applying it to funding. But those two combinations, if you think about them in an intersection, what are you taking and applying to your career and vice versa?
Just trying to practice what I preach to her, which is hard, right? It's very easy to sit on the living room floor and try to teach her that when somebody gets mad that you burnt the cookies, how you should react, right? I'm trying to teach her how she should react. And then when I go out into the real world and that same thing happens to me, except I'm the one who burnt the cookies, how I'm supposed to react. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Which is hard. It's so easy to say what you're supposed to do, but then when you're actually in the situation, can you actually do that and react the right way? Don't a lot of times. It's hard.
It's pretty wild, the standard that we put our kids to. I don't know if you ever notice this or have this feeling, but I was thinking the other day that I don't really ever allow Milan to have a bad day, right? If she doesn't get things right, I kind of push and say, you got to get this, and I get her, have this higher expectation.
Right.
Bad days, 5 out of 7 of them, right? And, and so you give this advice, and then when they don't follow it, you're like, oh, you got to listen to what I say. And then half the time, I'm not even following what I'm saying. So I couldn't agree more.
I always tell her, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, that might be the theme of most of that's hilarious. And so with your employees, did you find yourself coming with a different level of empathy and without putting words in your mouth, but did you change the way you managed after you had children versus before you had children?
It really all started at the same time, really. I mean, because before my daughter was born, it was really just me. And I was actually physically swinging the hammer and doing all the work myself. it wasn't until she was born that I actually started getting employees and whatnot. So that's hard to for me to answer, but I would tell you that it probably would be different if I had employees before she was born. I think it totally changes who you are. The second that she pops out, you're a different person. Everything changes.
What about your clients? When you're dealing with clients, have you come with a different level of approach?
Dealing with people, right? Being in a field where you're constantly dealing with people. A lot of people are just children, right? So it's made it easier for me to deal with people who are just not adults. And they're just children in an adult body.
Well, I mean, there's a saying out there that I remember reading and I loved it. It basically said that we're all a bunch of six-year-olds that grew up. And it's true, right? At the end of the day, like, I mean, a lot of those things, if you remember your own experiences, formed your views because of your kids and your childhood age. And I still look back. For me, I didn't have a father in my life. And so I think I always had this affinity to men that would take interest in me. And right. So like the coaches in my sports, if they took interest in me, man, that was my best friend forever, right? I would myself to death just because I wanted their respect. And that's all stems from a child wanting to have a dad around, right? So it's kind of interesting.
My father died when I was 8, and I can literally agree with exactly what you just said.
It's wild, right? It's an interesting type of experience that when you don't have a father around.
Yeah, hell yeah.
In some ways, it's interesting because you go down these different paths where you and I could have been very different, right? We didn't have an example then of a father. And so
I don't know. I think generally I'm a pessimistic person, but I always do try to find the good in something. I think that it potentially made me a better person.
How so?
Just having to learn stuff, right? Without a father, it forces you to grow up faster. I'm 35. I mean, I have friends that are still leeching off their parents. It just forces you to grow up quicker. So that's why I also try to thank God I'm here for her. But I also definitely try to let her figure shit out on her own.
And what was that, Dave? Because my situation, I just didn't have a father in the picture. So you don't ever, you miss what you don't have, but you don't know what it's to have something you never had, right?
Right.
And your situation, I mean, being 8 years old, I mean, you're at the age where your dad's your hero and you can't, all you want to do is hang out with your dad. I mean, that must have been absolutely devastating for you at that age.
Yeah, I think, I think my mother did a great job of, what would you say, a great job of putting the umbrella over me. I feel like she never really let me feel that. She kept everything going and kept everything moving, and I never missed a beat. I think that was huge. Yeah, but like I said, it just forced me to grow up that much faster. I
think that's made you want to be more engaged as a father because you didn't have that through your whole life. I know for me, that's the route I've taken, is that I never want my daughter to feel I'm not there.
When you say that, I want to say, and I'm questioning myself right now, but I want to say, does it make me want to be more engaged or less engaged? Because if I go on the theory of it made me a better person to have to grow up faster and learn stuff on my own, then I think it potentially made me a better person in the end to have to be more independent. I'm trying to say, I don't know.
Oh yeah, there's two sides of the coin, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I really don't know. It's a good question. I really don't know.
That's fascinating. It's funny. I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. I don't know if you catch up with any.
Great, right?
Oh man, he's amazing. And so they were talking one time about just being interesting people and raising your kids to be interesting, and the things that we were talking about, to go out and take risks and everything. And he made a comment that all the people that he knows, the most interesting ones, had the craziest, unique childhoods and experiences. And right. He's like, funny is we don't want any of our kids to have those because right. we don't want them to go through that trauma or that challenge. Yet, how do you protect your kids and still let them become creative and interesting? And I think you're hitting on it, right? You went through this incredible trauma. In some sense, it made you better. And you actually looked at the good part about it, which is I had to grow up faster because I didn't have my dad there for every decision. And so you're trying to take, in the sense of you're being there. So you're protecting your daughter to make sure that you're engaged and you're there, but you're also trying to take the good that came out from that trauma and that experience and make sure that she gets the value out of that too.
Yeah, every day I try to do something that's, God forbid I'm not here tomorrow, today I taught you something that you'll never forget how to do now, whether it be whatever, it's stupid, using a shovel, painting the wall, whatever it is. I try to just teach her something that's, God forbid, I'm not here. Well, you got this. You got, you know what I mean? I always try to just teach something because, God forbid, you're not here tomorrow. I want to leave her with as many skills and abilities as I possibly can, right?
Yeah.
So.
And that's a perfect segue into the next two questions. So the next question is, what are the key principles that you do want to steal into your kids?
Have fun. That's it. That really is. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, that really is. Even working and everything, I work all day, but all I'm really doing all day is just trying to figure out the next thing I'm going to do to make it fun. Try to make everything fun. All I want to do is laugh and just have fun. You know what I mean? Life is too short. You know what I mean? It's, you never know what tomorrow is going to be, and I just want to have fun today.
Dude, you could not have Gandhi say that better, man. That was awesome. that was freaking great. So let me push on you there, though. So the dads out there, man, and I've been one of them. We're sitting there and listening to that. And like, yeah, man, that sounds great, but what do you even mean by have fun? How do you even make that happen? What's some techniques or tactics that you do to break up the daily grind or the things whenever it feels it's not fun anymore?
I'm sure a lot of kids are the same way, but Lily loves when I get hurt. So if we have a little lull or we're not having fun, I'll just trip over something and hit the ground, and it'll just totally change the rest of the day. You know, you could totally change them. The laughter is so important to me. It can change. You could just be having a bad day, and then daddy trips and falls and pretends he breaks his toe, and it just changes the rest of the day. It just changes the whole course of the day. I mean, so that's it, man. It's really just, I really just try to have, no matter what I'm doing, I think anybody that knows me would attest to that. All I want to do is laugh. That's it. That's all I want to do is laugh and have fun. For me, like, work isn't that serious. All day long, I am playing jokes and pranks and doing stuff to guys all day long just because all I want to do is laugh and I want to make the day enjoyable.
Yeah, there's a saying with Navy SEALs that I always find awesome and I try to use whenever things get really hard, and it's almost embrace the suck. And so that terminology is, okay, you've got something hard in front of you, you're putting in a hard day's work, because by no means you're super humble guy, but you've already expressed the amount of time and effort you've had to put into your career and running a company. And the construction business isn't easy. The day of work itself is hard. Then you're dealing with tough people, man. You got negotiations, you got people that have high expectations. And so for you to embrace that challenge, but also keep it fun, means you've mentally put yourself in a strong position.
Yeah, it's just my most important thing. Even with customers, I have customers that are complete stiffs and just not fun people at all. And I play jokes on them just because it makes me laugh. I can't help it.
I would assume, I don't know, but I would speculate that people probably appreciate your authenticity. That's something that's missing in this world. I think there's been so much of this, you know, corporate wrapper that gets around every transaction. And so everything has to be, you know, said perfectly, worded perfectly, responded. And when somebody just brings a breath of fresh air and authenticity, I mean, I know I'm, you know, drawn to those type of people.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to make my daughter and, well, both my kids, but whatever. My daughter is more of a person now than my son is. He's only a year and a half. But every single person that she comes in contact with, and this is what makes me feel is that I'm being successful as a father, is that every single person that comes in contact with her says, she is just a breath of fresh air. She just makes everybody happy. All she wants to do is make everybody laugh. And that's my most important thing. And she's doing that. So as far as I'm concerned, me and Jean are doing a good job because everybody just loves being around her. And she just wants everybody to laugh. And that's it. And she really does. She wakes up and all she wants to do is make people laugh. And I think that's the most important thing. I really do.
Yeah, and she's such a cute kid, so I'm sure that smile in his eyes certainly helped the effort in that.
And just, so, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I guess I want to put a plug in that we are not liable for anybody going and breaking their toe to make their kids laugh.
So, oh, I've done way worse than that to make her laugh. So
I feel like there's a reason why there's directions on things such as a toaster, not to take it into the tub with you. So we're giving some directions on this show. Do it at your own peril. Sounds like it works effectively. I certainly will try it, but try not to actually break the toe. That's hilarious. Yeah. And so when you're thinking about instilling those principles and that mindset, what traditions are important for you to pass on to your children?
I don't know. I would honestly say, again, this might sound crazy, but I would honestly say that I'm not really big on traditions. I'm big on every day is a new day. And even with the holidays and stuff, I always just feel, is that what you mean when you say traditions? You mean stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, like, because I've been asked that question. And when I think of traditions, it's everything from we get together for Thanksgiving once a year and we do that as a family dinner to we travel to this place every year. You know, what one of the most fascinating responses was Jason Bailey. He's actually a general for the U.S. Air Force. And his tradition was, listen, I believe that in the morning I get with my family and then in the evening I get with my family. And he explained his schedule. And so he was that daily tradition of spending time with your family up front in the morning and in the evening to me is one of the most valuable things. So, you know, I think traditions means a little bit different to everybody. And so that's where I'm going is, are there certain things that your family just does together or you do with your family that you want your kids to remember?
Yeah, I think it's going to change, but like I said, because what's going on right now, but previously the tradition would be going to bed. I would always try to make sure that I was home for bedtime to say goodnight and do the whole bedtime routine thing. That was the most important thing, but that was because I wasn't really around much, where now I feel that might change because I think I'm going to try to be around more. So I don't know, but as far as holidays and stuff like that, I'm not big on traditions. So my wife makes me do the tradition thing, right? She's the one who makes us, we always go here for Easter. We always go there for Christmas. But if I could have my way, I just to do all different stuff. This way you can remember, oh yeah, remember that Christmas when we went skiing? Or remember that Christmas day when we were in Jamaica? Or remember that Christmas day when we were here? I feel that would make more of an impact than doing the same thing every single Christmas.
Yeah, we're the same way, man. It's interesting because I'm fascinated by that question because I see different families do regular type of traditions where each year you just do it this. And I always find that interesting because we're so opposite. I joke, my wife at one point wanted to get a vacation house. And why would we get a vacation house? We never go to the same place twice. It's just our thing that's maybe our tradition is we don't go to the same place twice. Yeah. Thanksgiving, we don't do the turkey dinner. Thanksgiving, we hit the beach. And so we're doing so that one of our traditions, every one of those national commercial holidays where people stay in or travel to try to hang out with 400 other family members, we go on a family vacation to where it's warm. So it's interesting and it's never the same place, right? So it's interesting because I'm the same way. I think we both, my wife and I both love the continuous stimulation of new things. And some people, the continuous stimulation of the same thing. And I just find the contrast pretty interesting.
Yeah, see, I think I'm more so, I don't know if it would be a tradition or not, but I would like to wake up every morning with no plan and no schematic of what we're doing and just go. You know, there's been times where I'm like, oh, where are we going? Just pack it up. Get in the car. Let's go. Where are we going? I have no idea. We're just going. And just go. And that's almost an everyday tradition that I try to, I have no idea what we're doing tomorrow. We're just going to do whatever we want to do. We're in America. We're free. We can do whatever we want. And that's what we're going to do.
That's awesome. Well, we were free up until we got state. That's a whole nother, probably 2-hour podcast for another time. And so, Dave, man, those were awesome answers. Love the responses. I think there's a lot for people to take away from there. So I'm really looking forward to bringing out some good memes for you and really sharing this podcast. I did get a special guest host of her own show. You'll have to check it out if you haven't seen it, Juice with Milan. And so she's getting the podcast interview skills going. And Milan, you want to say, so do you have some hard questions for Mr. Dave?
My favorite color is blue.
Okay, that's first question. Second question is, what's your favorite basketball player?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, oh man, I'm going to have to go with
the one.
No. Yeah, I'll go. Yeah, what? You're absolutely right. I'll go with Kobe. You're right.
What's your favorite superhero?
Oh, man. Probably Superman.
That's a good one.
You like that one?
What's your favorite drawing from your daughter and your son?
My favorite what?
What's your favorite drawing from your favorite daughter and your son?
So Lily's getting really good at drawing bunny rabbits. That.
That's third question. What's your favorite tennis player?
Probably.
Oh, that's a good one.
You like that one?
Yeah. Where do you live now?
I live in Middletown, New Jersey.
What's your
favorite embarrassing story? That's a good question, Milan. I'm going to have to think for a second. I wasn't ready for that question. All right, so I have one from today. It actually happened today. Lily has this Power Wheels, this little scooter thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I wanted to try to ride it myself.
Yeah.
And I was going down the driveway and I went off the curb and I flipped over backwards and fell off it into the road. That was embarrassing. My biggest fear.
What's your biggest fear?
Yeah, what's your biggest fear? That's a good question. What's your biggest fear? My biggest fear is not having any snacks in the pantry.
That's a pretty scary sight, right? Especially as much as you snacks.
My favorite scary stuff is probably scary Halloween masks.
What do you dress up as Halloween?
I think last year, last Halloween, what was I last Halloween? I forget. Oh, last Halloween, I was Donald Trump. I got a Donald Trump mask.
Donald Trump?
Yeah, the president.
Oh, my goodness. Was he scaring everybody? That's funny. Do you have any more questions for Mr. Dave?
What were you for Halloween, Milan?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman? That's pretty cool.
What was your daughter and son? How did they dress up?
I think Jackson was a ladybug. And I think Lily was... What was Lily? Did you ever see the movie Sing?
Sing.
Did you ever see the movie Sing?
Yeah, the movie Sing. You remember with the elephant and the piggy, they would sing on the stage and they were building that concert show?
No.
Yeah, that's where that song you used to say, oh my God, look at my...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think she was one of them.
She was one of the characters in Sing.
I think she was one of the characters.
So do you have any other questions, kiddo, or is that it? Good to go? All right. Do you want to thank Mr. Dave for being on the show?
Thank you for being on the show, Mr. Dave.
Thank you for asking me questions. You did a wonderful job.
Say hi to your kids.
And tell them you might have to have Lily on Juice with Milan so that they can have a interview. All right,
that would be awesome.
That would be really cool. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Have you gotten to see that video that we published?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, check it out on Facebook. I don't know if I've added you, or I think you are added to Dad Corp. I'll shoot it over the link to you. That way you get a chance to take a look at it. We went through and we're doing this 8 or 9 minute video where, you know, I just ask her some questions and she goes on. And so we're trying to get a creative where we bring on other guests that she gets.
Yeah,
that'd be a lot of fun. So cool, man. Well, hey, thanks for being a good sport through that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, dude, I could do that all day.
I know. It's so much fun, man. It's so cool. It's wild because just hearing her talk to you and then knowing that when we first met, they were babies, right? So it's wild to sit here and have this conversation. She was whispering to me even before we got on. She's like, who is it? And I told her, I don't know him. I'm like, we were going down the slide. She's like, no, I don't remember him. All right, you don't remember, but you watch this sad video all the time. And trust me, he remembers you. It's pretty wild, man. So I guess to wrap up, there's one final question that we have, and it's the dad ode. What, when your kids one day and are talking and giving a speech about you or what it was to have you as a dad, what would you want them to remember you as?
Just fun. That's it, man. Just want to make sure we have as much fun as we possibly can. And that's it. I mean, are you familiar with the Jimmy Valvano speech that he did at the ESPYs a long time ago, actually?
No. Tell me about that.
He did a speech. He was dying at the time, but he did a speech and it's something I really live by. So he says there's three things that you need to do every day. And those three things are laugh, think, and have your emotions brought to tears. If you could do all three of those things every day, then you had an awesome day.
Wow.
And I think that is what I live by. I want to laugh all day. I want to think. And I want to be emotional about something, right, every day. I think those are, if you can do that, I mean, I truly believe that that is the most important things that you can do. If you can do that every day, then that's great.
Yeah, it's almost a cameo for watch Dave Chappelle, then a rom-com, and then go in and listen to that physics guy, Neil. Yeah. What's the name of that physics guy you're talking about that's always out there? He has 12 PhDs.
I don't know, but I know where you're going with that. Imagine sitting down and doing that for an hour and a half. That would be an awesome hour. I mean, you would feel so fulfilled in that hour and a half. Well, that's it, man. I just want to be the coolest dad, the funnest dad. And like I said, I feel like I am because I'm more of a kid than any of the kids that we're ever with.
I'll have to check out that video. That sounds like a really good one to watch.
Oh, dude, I probably listened to it. I mean, nobody knows this, but I probably listen to his speech maybe once a month.
Wow.
Honestly.
You have to shoot me the link to it.
Yeah, I'll shoot you the link. It's Jimmy Valvano. He was a college basketball coach. He wound up getting cancer, and it's his speech at the ESPYs. And every single time I listen to this speech, it makes me cry. But it's so – I mean, there's so many things you have to listen to. I mean, the other thing he says is there's three things that you need to really think about all day long. Is where you came from, where you are right now, and where you're going. That's it. That's life. That's the whole life. Three questions.
That's a pretty powerful statement too. And it's interesting. It's powerful, but simple. And
it couldn't be any more true. It couldn't be any more true.
Yeah. That's pretty one. I'll have to send you, if you that, I'm really looking forward to listening to it because it sounds pretty similar to watching a guy named Randy Pausch. And so he was a professor at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. And he was dying of pancreatic cancer. And it was interesting because he starts out the video of basically showing the cancer in his body. And it was fascinating because he's like, hey, I'm dying. And within 6 months, he's, I'm going to be dead. But right now he got down and he did one arm pushups. He's, I don't feel I'm going to die. I just know it's going to happen. These pictures tell me I'm going to die. Right. And so it was really weird because cancer just, you have no symptoms. And then all of a sudden 6 months later, you're gone.
Right.
And so he gave this speech and he talked about the meaning of life to him and what you should focus on. And it's similar to, I think Jobs gave such a wonderful speech at 1.2 around that and the saying that he had at the end. And it really does, man. You look at what these people say at the end and then what you focus on the day to day. If that's not aligned, you got it wrong right now, because that's all what they're thinking is the same thing we're all going to be thinking at that point.
Right. Yeah, no. So yeah, I mean, I really stuff that, not necessarily speeches necessarily, but just things that would just make you sit. I usually listen to it. I'll listen to it in my truck by myself, and it just makes you decompress and really think about what's going on.
That's some powerful stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's really good stuff. But listen to it when you're by yourself, because you'll probably cry, but it's great.
I'm Olive Garden Italian, man, so it doesn't take a whole lot for my tears.
I try to be the toughest guy you ever met, but when I'm by myself in my truck, I cry, dude.
You get me a good song going, and they're right? Especially if it's a daddy-daughter song.
Yeah, God. If I can relate it to my kids, I'll be out here cutting down trees, being the manliest man you could ever see, and the right song comes on, and I'll be crying with the chainsaw in my hand.
Yeah, man, they must have spread some freaking onion on this tree because the
one. Yeah, man.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Yeah. So, hey, we're at the end, man. And it's been great to catch up. And you have to thank your wife for letting me steal you for a couple hours. And I can't wait to actually steal
you. Dude, I've been outside on the deck. I drank a bottle of wine. I'm just hanging out. It's great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And so, Dave, where, can people find you, your company, your wife's floral shop, and then anything else that you do publicly that you think might be interesting for people to follow? What do you have out there, and how can people look you up if they want to hear?
My website is thompsoncontractingnj.com, and we do work both New Jersey and New York, and also on Facebook. If you just do a Facebook search, Thompson Contracting, I'm there also. And my wife is Ashley's Floral Beauty, and that's in Matawan.
So. Very cool. And what flowers? Does she do it all, or is there certain things that your florist business is focused on?
She does a ton of weddings. She mostly does weddings and funerals is probably the bread and butter.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then for your contracting business, is it mostly focused on remodeling, new construction? Are there certain things that you, residential, commercial, or are you pretty flexible in what you
pretty much, we do everything from additions to bathrooms, decks, kitchens, siding, roofing. Painting, trim, door. I mean, we pretty much have the ability to do anything and everything.
Awesome. Well, hey, I know if anybody would go through your guys' business, I think you hit it right at the bat. Client service. I
met you and I've known you over the years through Facebook. We've been watching, keeping in touch. And so I know you guys are just a great family. So I think anybody that would use those services would be in good hands. So if you are thinking about it, we wouldn't regret that decision. So, and from a show perspective, man, what you gave us today was awesome. So I just absolutely appreciate it. Thank you for the time. And I know it's a big commitment, but let's keep in touch and let's get you back here. And also let's get together in person and have some fun, man, because I think that theme.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I had a great time tonight. It was cool. And definitely look forward to getting together as soon as all this whole mess is over. We should definitely get together. I think the girls would definitely hit it off now.
Yeah, let's do it. The kids will definitely, and they both would probably get a kick out of us. You'll have to teach how to have some fake broken bones.
Definitely.
All right, brother.
We have a ton going on here at the Dad Corp. So thanks for following us. Jump on the platform and join in the show. Check out our website, www.thedadcorp.com. The design, it's great. It's simple. It's intuitive. We have an entire e-commerce dad mall. We're adding partners, new products regularly. We are going to be the biggest, baddest, and best platform globally for everything dads. While you're there, pick up one of our hot-selling Dad Life t-shirts. This thing is going off the virtual shelves. We're getting hundreds of orders coming in. It's a great price. It's one of our original Dad Corp designs. We went out, we crowdsourced, we went through a long process. We got a great design. It's unique. Kids love it. Dads love it. People are going to notice it. Our shirts are comfortable. Our customer service is even better. Check us out. Pick one up. Spread the word. Follow us on Facebook. We have over 80,000 followers. You can find us on facebook.com/thedadcorp. If you don't have Facebook and you're into the Instagram, check us out, the_dad_corp. Subscribe to our podcast. We're going to be continuing these regular interviews with dads out there who are living an epic dad life. They're going to share their stories, advice, lessons, and we're just going to have great conversations. Very interesting people, very interesting conversations. You can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. If you listen to podcasts on some type of app, we're probably there. Check us out. If not, go to another one. Subscribe, share. Thank you. We love you. We can't do it without you. So finally, keep spreading the word. We're out there. We're all in. And we want to do this with you all. We're a dad site built for dads by